So we are holding on Sadiq Bey's Amud Bey's, 5 lines from the top.
Sadiq Bey's Amud Bey's, 5 lines from the top.
Yeah. Okay, we're in the middle of trying to figure out the question we started with yesterday. When we say that a worker is allowed to eat on the job, is it Mishaloi Hu Oichel that the Torah tells us that he gets a bonus over and above his salary, in which case though is considered his mammon for all purposes, such as that, for example, he could tell the balabas, instead of giving it to me, give it to my children or what have you. Or no, is it Mishel Shemayim Hu Oichel, and in that case, no, it's a specific thing the Torah is mezakeh to him, and he doesn't have the ability to be mezakeh to anybody else. So we went through a couple of attempted proofs so far, haven't proved it yet. So that's where we're holding. Toshma, we learn in the next Mishnah, Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph, Tzadikher Tzapoy Olach with the Netzer Avai Shalai. If you hire a worker to work on Netzer Avai, the Netzer Avai is after the first 3 years you plant a tree, the first 3 years it's Orla, you can't have any Hanah from it. The fourth year it's Netzer Avai, it's actually Machlokes in the Gemara Brachas, whether it only applies to vines or whether it applies to all trees, whatever, without getting into that. The point is, the fourth year produce is similar to Ma'aseh Sheni. You have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it over there, B'tahara, or you exchange it for money and you take the money to Yerushalayim. Basically, the dinim that apply to Netzer, to Ma'aseh Sheni also apply to Netzer Avai. The Rambam, for example, puts them together in one set of halachas, so it's Ma'aseh Sheni and Netzer Avai, for that reason. Anyway, so suppose you have workers who are working on Netzer Avai. So the Mishnah says, Harei lo yoichlu, so they're not allowed to eat from it because it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim.
Why are we bringing this example?
Because we're going to see. Because we're going to try to use it as a proof. But if he didn't inform them ahead, so if they knew to begin with that they were working on Ma'aseh Sheni, then okay, they knew that they knew they're being hired on the Nas, so they're not going to be able to eat from it. So fine. But if he didn't inform them ahead of time that it's going to be Netzer Avai, and then he is obligated to redeem some of that Netzer Avai food and then give it and then allow them to eat from it. Now, so the argument is, if you're going to say that they're eating Mishal Shemayim, am I Podo Machilon? Even if they didn't know, whether they knew or not, either way, why should you have to be Podo and give them to eat? After all, the Torah is never mezakeh them in the first place, something which is also to eat, such as Netzer Avai outside Yerushalayim. So why would we say that seems to prove that Mishaloi Hu Oichel. And not Mishal Shemayim, because if it's Mishal Shemayim, it shouldn't make a difference. So the Marashal explains the point of the question.
Have them eaten or not.
Why would you need, if it's Mishal Shemayim, so the Marashal explains the point of the question is like this. The concept of Mekach Tos, the concept where you say that the Gemara is going to answer it like a Mekach Tos, but the Gemara assumes to begin with that the concept of Mekach Tos is only relevant if Mishaloi Hu Oichel, if it's essentially something that is considered to belong to them, which therefore they can dispose of as they want, give it to their children, etc. Whereas if we say Mishal Shemayim Hu'orchel, on the face of it, it shouldn't matter whether there was a toast, whether there was a misunderstanding or not. Either way, why should you have to be part of Machel? The answer is Hasan Mishal Mechzi Kimekach Toast. No, but it's true. But on the other hand, it looks like a Mekach Toast. Meaning, in other words, again, we're following Marshall, it's not literally a Mekach Tos. If we say it's Mishal Shemayim, it's true. Nevertheless, it has the appearance of Mekach Tos, because after all, they were under the assumption that they were going to be able to eat from it. So therefore, that's why the next Mishnah is saying he's going to be responsible to be poda and feed them, so, and give them and allow them to eat the part that was redeemed. So even, in other words, even if he says Mishal Shemayim, still it's true that the concept of Mekach Tos doesn't really apply as such. Nevertheless, though, because it looks like Mekach Tos, you have to make arrangements about that. So you still can't prove one way or the other. The Gemara says, Eima Sefer. Okay, let's look though at the next part of the Mishnah. Nisparsu Igulov Nispat Chuchav Yosef. The Mishnah continues, what if you have another case? You have, for example, you have cakes of pressed figs, which at that point, once they were made into cakes of pressed figs, they're already nigmur malachta l'maiser, they're already chayev and maiser, and therefore, as we've learned before, the poel doesn't have the right to eat from it anymore. So what happens if you had an eagle shodzvela, you had one of these cakes, and then it broke apart, and you're hiring workers to put them back together? So nisparsu igulov, if the igulim fell apart, and now they need to be pressed back together, nispasku chav yosef, or if you have barrels of wine which got opened up, and you're hiring workers to reseal them, harei lo yechlu. Then the Mishnah continues, there's another case where they're not allowed to eat, because it's already nigmur malachta l'maaser. And again, the imlo yadi and ma'asru ma'achilin. But again, the Mishnah tells us, if he didn't inform them ahead of time that that's what they're going to be working on, then he has to, since it's already chayiv and meiser, he's going to be obligated to take off meiser and allow them to eat from it. So you have to ask the amud mishal shemayim hu oichel. So if you're going to say again that mishal shemayim hu oichel, that what they're eating is basically a form of matnas aniyim. It's not nothing to do with their salary or bonus or anything. And then again, you should have to ask, why is he giving them? Why does he have to take off ma'aser and give them to eat? Easter lezachel hurachmana. Again, you should argue the Torah is not mezakeh them something which is tevel, which in this case, being that it's already chayiv and ma'aser, then it's already tevel. So you should argue the same thing.
You should argue what?
That you should argue that the Torah was never mezakeh them to eat anything which is aser, in this case being tevel. So why should he have to take off ma'aser before giving them to eat?
If it's tevel.
If it's tevel, then it's also to eat without taking ma'aser. So mela, if you say mishaloi hu oichel, you could say, okay, then they will, again, you could argue, fine, mekach tos, you could say they thought that they're coming here to work on something which they'll be able to eat from. It turns out that not. So now you have to take off ma'aser in order for them to be able to eat from it, because you have to fulfill your bargain with them. But if it's mishal shemayim hu oichel, you should just tell them, hachila, look, the Eivish should only give you permission to eat from something that is loy nigma malachta ma'aser. I'm sorry I misled you. It is already nigma malachta ma'aser. Nonetheless, though, the concept of poyel oichel doesn't apply over here. And I'm not obligated to take off ma'aser in order to have something to give you. Okay. Now, the next two words of Chitema is actually the subject of an argument between the Marshal and the Marshal, how to explain our Gemara. Basically, first of all, going back a second to this Ema Seifa, usually when the Gemara says Ema Seifa, it's like this. You tried to bring a proof for something from one part of a Mishnah. You slugged up the proof. You said you could understand the Mishnah differently. But then, with Lechora, we see the next part of the Mishnah seems to contradict that. So is that what it means over here, in fact? So Marshal says not necessarily. And in fact, many other Mephoshim say the same, many Rishonim say the same thing as well. Ema Seifa over here doesn't really mean in that sense. The Ema Seifa over here is really like another Toshma. It's attempting to bring another proof. Okay, you slugged up the proof from the first half of the Mishnah. Now, unrelated to that, let's bring the second half of the Mishnah, the case of the barrels being opened or the cakes being broken apart or whatever, where we say that they're not allowed to eat. And then, we'd be trying to prove that Mishaloi hu oichel, because otherwise it's Mishal Shemayim hu oichel, then it doesn't really fit.
So Ema Seifa means something different, or what is it?
Usually Ema Seifa means, given that you're trying to explain the Reisha a certain way, in this case that you're trying to explain the Reisha based on the idea that it's Mishal Shemayim hu oichel, and you say, but you're saying because Nefti can make a toast, how would that fit with the Seifa, where it seems that you can't say Mishal Shemayim hu oichel? But that's if we use Ema Seifa in that sense. But then we have to continue with
so
the V'chit.
Would be slugging up.
Not really slugging. Yeah, well, slugging up based on, if you look at the Seifa, it doesn't fit with that explanation of the Reisha. Whereas if we understand Ema Seifa, so the way the Marshal understands it is more like it's a separate question. And if he takes out the words of Chitema over here, because he says, now that we went through that Mishnah, now as a side thing we're going to ask. As a side thing, given that we're saying, fine, either way, regardless whether the Mishnah can be understood as saying Mishaloi or Mishal Shemayim hu oichel, either way we have to ask the question, how b'chalal is there even a possibility of a mekach tos over here, whether an actual mekach tos or seemingly a mekach tos, if they should know, where they should be able to look at these things and realize that they were once a cake of pressed fig, or they were once a barrel the wine is already in the barrel and they know it's chayiv and ma'aser. So that's how he understands it. Therefore, he takes out the chitema. He says he explains the next piece of Gemara that we're going to see, that we're having dealt with the two possible proofs from the next Mishnah, we're now saying as a side thing, we've got to understand what's the situation in that Mishnah anyway, that these workers should be looking at these barrels and saying, I didn't know that it was Nigma Malachta Lamaiser. Obviously, if you're hired to reseal barrels, you should know already that Nigma Malachta Lamaiser. Marshal explains differently. He does leave in the word b'chitema, and he explains, he would understand the Ema Sefer in the usual way, that given that you're trying to explain the first part of the Mishnah is saying you're trying to explain that the first part of the Mishnah is saying Mishal Shemayim was. So how would that fit with the second part of the Mishnah, where it's not a question of Mishaloy or Mishal Shemayim, it's a question, are you allowed to eat from it? Is it a situation where you're able to eat from it b'chlal, because it's after Gemar Malacha, and after Gemar Malacha there's no mitzvah in the Torah to allow a poil to eat from it. And therefore, having answered that, we're saying, so we haven't answered yet. So that's, we continue with the question. So if you're going to say hochanami mishum domestic and mechatzos, that you're going to say, well, okay, same idea, same thing in the second case, because it's like a mechatzos, because they thought they're being hired to work with unfinished produce, and it turns out that now it's finished.
Right.
The problem with that is bishleima nisparus ligul of mechatzik mechatzos. Fine, that works with when the cakes fell apart. Fine. Figs that were once pressed together don't look all that different than figs that were never pressed together. So fine, they're being hired to repress the figs back together into a cake. Fine, they can come to the job. We didn't realize that these are figs that were once together and now they fell apart. We thought you hired us to make you cakes and to make you a gula d'vela. Therefore, we want to have our rights to eat, and therefore it's at least mechzi k'mechatzos. Again, if you say not, if the difference whether we say mechzi or not is really the key difference is, do we say mishaloi hu'echol misham shamayim hu'echol? If we say mishaloi hu'echol, it really is a mechatzos. They were working on manas that they're going to get a certain bonus, and now they're not going to. If we say mishal shamayim hu'echol, then it's only mechzi k'mechatzos. Look, true, the balabas technically could tell them, look, in this case, the whole concept of you eating doesn't apply anyway because it's after Gemar Malacha. There's no mechatzos involved because it's Mishal Shemayim anyway. It's not something that you own. It's just a matnas aniyim, which in this case doesn't apply. However, it's mechzi k'mechatzos. Fine, therefore I have no choice. I'll have to take off Meiser and give you some to eat.
It would be like if it's Shemayim. They thought it was Shiloh, and it's Shemayim.
Because it's not Shiloh, that's the point. If the assumption is that Mishal Shemayim Oichol, and it means it's not something that belongs to them in the first place. In that case, it's either you're entitled to Minah Shemayim, and that's it. It doesn't actually belong to you, but Torah entitles when you're eating it that you're allowed to eat from it. If it's a case where it doesn't apply. Finish. There's no Mechatzos involved. There's no, I was only going to come here to work on Manas that I was going to get that bonus. It doesn't work that way if you say Mishal Shemayim. So that's the question.
But if they have to know, though.
No, but that's the thing. They don't, according if we say Mishal Shemayim, they don't have. That's what we're saying. Then it's only Mechzi Kemechatzos. So, if you have Nisparis Ligulov, if you're talking about figs that fell apart and putting them back together, fine, you can argue Mechzi Kemechatzos. It looks like a Mechatzos because there's not a noticeable difference between them necessarily. Ellen, Spatru Chavayosa, my Mechatzos. When it comes to barrels being open, what kind of Mechatzos is there? Obviously, you know, you're hired to reseal barrels. By definition, it means the wine was already completed being processed and therefore it's Chayav and Meiser. Omnepsheshis, Chinispatru Chavayosa, Labor. So Rav Shesha says, yes, but the case, I skipped the line. My mechatzos is a media dia di itbol ulamaiser. Isn't it obvious that once the wine is in barrels, it's already tevel insofar as my, that it already has that maiser taken from it? Rav Shesha's genes patru chaviyot of the borough. So Rav Shesha's answer is yes, but we can be talking about that. What the situation is, the barrels got opened up and spilled into the borough, back into the pit where the wine was fermenting all this time. So now they're being hired to draw it back out of there, to take the wine back out of there and ladle it back into the barrel from the burr. So as far as they know, so the guy comes, I have barrels of wine that need to be filled from the burr. As far as they know, it's not yet Nigmar Malacha Lemaaseh, for reasons which we'll discuss in a minute. So therefore, they come, it turns out these barrels were already filled with the wine, and it's spilled back into the burr. It's already Nigmar Malacha Lemaaseh. Therefore, the din of poil oichol doesn't apply.
But there is still
a possibility of mechatzos. If we say mishaloi hu'oichol, then there can still be there is real mechatzos. They were intending to come to work on manas that we're going to be able to drink X amount of wine, and now it turns out they can't because it's already after the time when they're entitled to, and therefore there's mechatzos. Therefore, we're going to obligate them to take off ma'aser and allow them to drink some. So again, Marashah says that this is all part of the essential question of the Gemara to try and figure out whether Mishaloi Hu'echol or Mishal Shemayim Hu'echol. According to Marashah, it's kind of a side issue. How do we understand the Mishnah? How do we understand that they misunderstood what the situation was here in the first place?
How did they misunderstand?
That's the question. And Rav Sheshes is answering, that we're talking about that these barrels were previously full of wine, and then the wine spilled back into the burr, where now they thought, so they, again, they thought they were being hired to draw wine out of the boat for the first time before it's chayiv and meiser, when they have the right to eat from it. Mishaloi, Mishal Shamayim, as the case may be. Now it turns out that it's ready.
Eat from it?
They drink from it. Yeah. Okay. The question is, well, Tanya Yain Mishayir Labur. Okay, but we learn a brisa that wine becomes chayiv and meiser and truma and meiser as soon as it goes down into the pit. So in that case, fine. They know they're taking it out of the pit, but it was already in the pit fermenting over there. At that point, there's already chayiv and meiser. Again, what kind of misunderstanding was there?
Any wine that falls into a barrel?
Any wine. The normal way of doing it is you have two pits, kind of. You have one higher than the other. You have an upper one where you put in the grapes and you tread on them and press them. You have then a channel where they run into the lower burr and they land in there. First, it's grape juice. Eventually, it ferments into wine. And later on, you take it out of that lower burr and fill up barrels with it. So in this case, once it goes into the lower burr, it's already chayiv and meiser. So what do you mean? They thought we're being hired to take wine out of the burr and it wasn't a chayiv and meiser. The answer is kirab akiva. Fine, but the next Mishnah could be the next Mishnah, again, we're talking about the barrels where he's hiring them to seal barrels, and Rosheshes is saying we're talking about that the wine was already previously in the barrels. We could be talking, according to Rabbi Akiva, Amar Mishayakta, because Rabbi Akiva holds that wine only becomes chayiv and meiser once you process of making wine. Once you squeeze the grapes and make grape juice, after that it starts fermenting. The sugar starts turning into alcohol. You have gas comes out of it, carbon dioxide. Nowadays they know how to bottle wines. If you have sparkling wines that still have that in there, or you have non-sparkling wines where they allow it to escape. In those days they didn't really have the technology to keep it from escaping. It would escape. You have for a few days there the wine is toisase. It's bubbling up because all that carbon dioxide is coming out. Eventually it stops. Along with all of that, along with all the bubbles, comes up pieces of the seeds and things like that. So therefore, what do you do after that? You skim those off the top. You skim all that floating stuff off the top. That's called mishiyata. Now, Rabbi Akiva holds, only then does wine become chayiv and meiser. Very well then. These workers thought that they're being hired to bottle wine, to put wine into barrels that had not yet been mishiyata. It turns out already it had been, because it had already previously been skimmed off and put into the barrels, and then the barrels spilled back into the burr. No, we actually mean skim off. Skim off that stuff. Okay. So then, in that case, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have a period of time when they think they could be putting wine into barrels when it's not yet chayiv and meiser, and really it is. That's the situation. According to Rabbi Akiva? Because it's only chayiv and meiser, mishiyachta, once you skim off that stuff. Yeah. So therefore the workers can say, Loi Hava, you didn't. We didn't know that it was already skimmed and that's chayiv and meiser. Benemelu, fine, but in that case, why can't he tell them, fine, why can't he tell them, fine, but you should have realized for yourselves, when I'm hiring you to take wine out of the pit, isn't it logical to think of that you might figure it was already skimmed off? Who would put it into barrels with all that stuff floating around in it? The answer is, we can be talking about the kind of place where, let's say you have one person making the wine, and another person is putting it into barrels, another person buys the wine while it's in the pit, and then pours it into the barrels, or hires workers to do that, but the situation is, let's say, the deal is, whoever is going to be putting the wine into barrels is also going to be the one who's responsible to do the skimming. So therefore, the workers come and say, we figured we're going to be doing both, the skimming and the putting into barrels, and it turns out it was already previously skimmed because it was already in barrels and then spilled back in. The Gemara says, "V'hashtad d'toni rav Zvid b'dvei rav Hashaya." Now that we have, actually, this was all the original assumption, this that we're saying, that Rav Sheshet said that you have to have the case, "Shenispachu chaviyos of the bur," that the case of the next Mishnah is where the barrels were previously filled up and then the wine spilled back into the bur. So again, the workers thought they came there to do it for the first time. Turns out they're doing it for the second time after it's already chayiv and meiser. Now that we have a braisa that Rav Zvid taught from among the braisas of Rav Hoshea, that goes like this, yayin mishyer lebur v'yakve, that wine becomes chayiv and meiser according to the Chachamim once it goes into the pit and you skim it. And Rabbi Akiva omer mishyashle b'chavios, and Rabbi Akiva says it's even a further, there's even a further process. After you put it into the barrel, it still continues bubbling for a little bit. And now the barrels themselves have been used before. So you have dregs at the bottom of them. that sinks to the bottom. When the wine is still bubbling, while once you put it into the barrel, it brings up some of those dregs with it, and then you skim those off as well. That's called mishayashla. So then you have even a further thing. You have, according to the Chachamim, according to that understanding of it, even the Chachamim would agree that when the wine is in the pit, it's not yechayv and meiser, only after you skim it. And Rabbi Akiva is saying it's not chayv and meiser until it's in the barrels and then skimmed in the barrel.
So there's two skimmings.
Well, then, two skimmings. After the tamer, shalom is patkul chaviyot of levar. Then you don't have to understand the next Mishnah is talking about where the barrels were filled and then spilled back into the bur. You could say they were never filled in the first place. And the wine is in the barrels right now. But it could still be a point of Akiva. Because again, the workers can come and say, we didn't know you're hiring us to steal barrels where the second skimming had already been done. We thought it hadn't been done yet. Therefore, it's not yet chayv and mice. They're a point of Akiva. And we should have been able to drink from it. Now it turns out we can't. Mechach Torah, so Mechach Torah, as the case may be. That's the question. Why can't the Balabas answer back? Why couldn't you have figured that there's a good chance, if I'm asking you to steal the barrels, that it was already, the second skimming was already done? And again, we're talking about the kind of place where the deal is, the usual way of doing things is, whoever is responsible for sealing the barrels is also the one responsible for skimming it. So therefore, they come to the job site expecting to do those two things, the skimming and the sealing, the second skimming and the sealing. Turns out the second skimming has already been done. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's chayv and meiser. According to everybody at that point, it's chayv and meiser.
But according to me, they should have done it.
They would have expected that they're like this. So therefore, they have a valid claim. So therefore, according to Marshall versus Marshall, we're dealing with over here, have we been able to prove one way or the other, the Mishnah is saying, Mishaloi Horeichel or Mishal Shamayim Horeichel, or was this whole discussion kind of a side discussion just to understand how the misunderstanding came about in the first place?
Seems to be a misunderstanding.
Obviously we're saying there was a misunderstanding, but the question is, can we understand this whole discussion over here only in accordance with the idea that Mishaloi Horeichel, or can we understand this discussion to also be relevant if Mishal Shamayim Horeichel? Marshall points out, the maskana, we're going to say, that the halacha is Mishal Shamayim Horeichel, and yet this idea of Rav Sheshet is that the Mishnah over there is talking gavka, a case where the wine spilled back into the bur, that's brought in halacha as well. Obviously, it must mean that Rav Sheshet's answer must have to be able to work with that also, with the idea that Mishal Shamayim Horeichel, not like Marshall says, where it would only work with Mishaloi Horeichel.
Even if it falls back in the bur, it's always going to be something you have to do again because the bar has fashion.
Not necessarily. I mean, the bur is plastered, so then it gets cleaned out once in a while. You clean it out between seasons, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Tashma. Come, let's try to prove another. So we don't have a proof yet, one way or another. Right. Tashma. The next Mishnah continues. Koitzitz Adamayde Asma. A person is allowed to make a deal with the Balabas for himself. Namely, he'll say, instead of like this, I would have been expected to eat $10 worth of fruit during the time I'm working. Instead, I'm not going to do that, and you'll give me that $10 instead. Person is allowed to do that for himself. I did b'noy b'tag dolem. He can also do it for his older son or daughter if they're working with him. I did abd b'shpatag dolem, or he can do it for his older eved or shifcha, again, if they're working with him. Valyade ishtoy, or for his wife. M'pneshi yesh ban das, because all of those people have das, and therefore they're able to be mochel on the right that the Torah gives them to eat on the job. Avol in a koitzet loyai de b'noi b'taktanim, but he can't make such a deal on behalf of his small son or daughter. V'loyai de abda b'shchataktanim, not for his small eved or shikha. V'loyai de b'hemdoi, or for his animal. M'pesha en b'hem das, because they don't have das. There's a bit of a machloikas or shoinim. When we say that a father is that we learned back in the near the beginning of the Masechta that a father is entitled to anything his son finds. Does that also include, for example, is he entitled to his son's salary? That affects the understanding of our Gemara over here. We've mentioned Bnoi. So maybe yes, and therefore when we mention Bnoi over here, it's actually literally like that. It means that if the son is working with him, his young son, then he's entitled to say the amount that you would have paid him instead goes to me, and therefore I'm entitled, therefore I would have been entitled to make deals about the amount he eats, except for the fact that they don't have das to be mochel. Or maybe not, and maybe we're just mentioning a son, derech agav, kind of, and the main argument that we're going to be bringing over here is mitzad bitoy or abdeb shivchotoy. Anyway, kasav kadayich b'malo lan mizayim. So the initial understanding that we're going to use for purposes of this question, is that we assume that the Bnei Yobita Yagdolim or Haktanim or whatever, as the case may be, is people who this worker himself, the father worker who's the father, is feeding them, is giving them food. So if you say that he's eating Mishal Shemayim, Mishamochi, and Ekait, it's fine. And that explains why he can't do it on behalf of his children or Avodav or whatever who have Tanim. Because Rashi says that the schus only comes into play when they actually take the food and actually start eating it. And in this case, they're not eating it, so therefore no schus to it exists in the first place. So he doesn't have the ability to say to the owner, they would have eaten $10 worth, so instead give me the extra $10. Because they wouldn't have had they only receive that schutz when they actually pick it up and start eating it. But if you're going to say that what he's eating is mishaloi, that's considered a bonus that actually belongs to him. Tanim nami nokut lahu. Why shouldn't he be able to just as well do it on behalf of his little children? Just like we're saying, whatever amount they earn on the job, they're earning $5 an hour, and he gets that. So the same thing, he should be entitled to the extra bonus that they would get in the form of food.
If it's Mishal Shemayim,
if it's Mishal Shemayim, we can understand why not, because Mishal Shemayim means that it's not transferable. So therefore, it's something that belongs specifically to them when they pick it up and eat it. It's not transferable to him, and therefore, fine, he doesn't have the right to make any deals that instead you'll give me money instead. That's what we're talking about, yeah. But fakert, if we say mishaloi hu aichol, the assumption is that since he's feeding them, therefore he's entitled to their schar. Since he's supporting them, he's entitled to their salary. Well, then in that case, why shouldn't he be entitled to also make a deal? Instead of them taking their bonus in the form of food, the bonus will be given in the form of money, and I'll collect the bonus just like I collect their salary. Again, if we go with the Rishonim, we'll say that if the father is not entitled to his son's salary, then the question wouldn't be from the son, it would be from the Eved. Same basic idea there. The answer is no. Hochab Maiskin, Mishain Ma'al Alehem is earnest. The Mishnah could very well be talking about a case where he's not supporting them. So therefore, he's not entitled to their salary. Now, in the case of children, that's fairly obvious, because we learned actually near the beginning of the Masechta that the reason behind the Takanas Chachamim, that a father is entitled to his son's Messiah, for example, is Mishum Eva, because you don't want there to be bad feelings between them. Look at this, I'm supporting you and I can't even take your Messiah. In the case of an Eved, Rashi points out, we learned in Gittin, and we're going to discuss it briefly in our Gemara in a few lines, there's a machlokes in the Gemara in Gittin. If you have an Eved, are you entitled to tell him, you have to work for me, I'm entitled to anything you make, however, I'm not obligated to support you, you go around and beg for tzedakah. We're going, for purposes of our discussion over here, we're going with the opinion that you can't.
So therefore,
if you say to your Eved, I'm not supporting you, you don't have the right to my fiyada. Well, very well then, in that case, if you're not supporting him, that explains why you can't make a deal on behalf of your Eved Cotton.
What did we see this thing?
We learned it in Gittin. We learned it sporadically here and there, but we had a discussion about it in Gittin.
There's two mandalas.
Asayimi vein is onach, whether he's allowed to. Then the question is, yoch gdolim nami, fine. In that case, wouldn't the same thing apply whether the children or avodim or what have you are gdolim? What's the difference? That's just gdolim yadi v'komachli. The answer is gdolim yadi v'komachli. Fine, but the difference is that if they're older, they know what's going on. They're capable of being moichel. Fine, it's true, we should be able to collect X amount of bonus in the form of fruit that we're going to eat. However, we're gdolim, we have the das to be moichel. Fine, we'll be moichel it. But ksanim don't have that.
So they're not
Merkel? The Ketanim can't be Merkel. They don't have the ability. They don't have the daft to be Merkel.
But they cannot have a Tanya.
It doesn't matter. The point is that if we say Mishaloi Hu Eichel, that whatever the worker is able to eat is considered a bonus for him. Yeah. Fine, but it's a bonus that they, if Ein Ma'al Alehem Mazonus, if their father is not supporting them, if they have to be self-supporting, then he's not entitled to their salary. Therefore, he's not entitled to their bonus either. Question is, we learn a braisa that from a poshia that says a person can make such a deal on behalf of himself, vayde ishtoi, or on behalf of his wife, but not on behalf of his animal, because not just a matter, by the way, with the animal, it's not just a matter where the animal doesn't have das, there's also the problem of lotachtum trovidisha, the problem that you'd be muzzling the animal, preventing it from eating while it's working. That's a separate issue. If you were to make a deal with the Balabas that instead of the animal eating, you'll pay me an extra amount, you'll pay me an extra bonus.
You'd
have to muzzle the animal, then you'd be over on my tax limit. Avol, but continues from Hoshi as Brais, but not on behalf of his behemoth. He can make such a deal on behalf of his older son or daughter, but he cannot make such a deal on behalf of his b'no b'tak tanim. Fine, so far that's saying the same thing as the Mishnah, just rearranging it. But here's the key thing, here's the key difference. He is able to make such a deal about his evet, that is evet or shifcha knanis, bein gdolim or bein ktanim. Now there's the difference. The Mishnah says that you can't do it for your evet or shifcha hu aktanim. Rav Hoshea's braita says you can. So how do we reconcile that? My love, Ivy Vaidu Malul Hanbazonis. Shouldn't we assume that both the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about a similar scenario where in both cases you, the original poyo, are supporting this Eved or Shifcha Knanis, that are Ktanim, over Hakamifadi? And in that case, what would be the machlokus between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Exactly that. The Marsava Mishaloi Oichel, the Marsava Mishal Shemaim Oichel. Evidently then, Evidently then, Rav Hoshea would hold Mishaloi Hu Oichel, therefore you supporting these avodim makes you're entitled to Maisi Adehem. You're entitled to Maisi Adehem, then you're also entitled to their bonus, Mishaloi Hu Oichel. Therefore, where the Tana of the next Mishnah would be holding Mishal Shemayim Hu Oichel. It's not a bonus, something that you have ownership of. It's something that they have non-transferable ownership only when they put it into their mouth. Therefore, if they're Tanim, they can't be Mosel.
They can what?
They can't be merciful. They're not able to be merciful. The answer is loy. You don't necessarily have to explain the Mishnah versus the Braisa that way. You could say the Kulam and Mishaloi Ho'echol. Maybe both Rav Hoshea and the Mishnah both agree that Mishaloi Ho'echol, that it is something transferable. V'loikasha, kan b'shein ma'al lehem mezonis, the Braisa or ma'al lehem mezonis. Fine, the nafkamina between the Mishnah versus the Braisa, maybe, is he supporting them or not? The Mishnah would be talking about where he's not supporting them. Again, if we assume that if you're not supporting your Eved, you're not entitled to his Maisi Yodav, there you go. You're not supporting this Eved or Shifcha or the Cotton. Therefore, you're not entitled to their bonus. And since they're planning, they can't. In the Braisa, you're supporting them. Therefore, you're entitled to it.
And both would
be B'shaloi Hu'echol. That's a bonus that belongs to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That belongs to the worker, rather. Yeah. Okay, the question is, Ramayo Kimta Ramayo Lohan Mazonis, fine. So what are you telling me then? That Rav Hoshea's Braisa is talking about the case where he's supporting the Eved, Yehochik Tanim Nami Nokot Lohu. Then in that case, as opposed to the Mishnah. Then in that case, why is the Mishnah saying that you don't have the ability to do this on behalf of your minor children? Why is it saying you can do it for your minor Avodim, Rav Hoshea, but not your minor children? What's the difference? In the Braisa, if we're talking about you're supporting the Eved and Shivcha, and presumably the Tanim or the Bonim and Bonos Tanim is also talking about you're supporting your own children. But yet we're saying that you can't make such a deal on behalf of them, but you're able to make such a deal on behalf of your Eved or Shivcha who are Tanim. What's the difference? The answer is Tzarayu Debneu Bitak Tanim Mazachi Lerachmana. Fine, we can say the Torah is Mazaka you the Maisi Yodov. Tosfos points out, it's actually the Takana de Rabbanon, but whatever. The Rabbanon can be mezaka you, the concept that you're able to take your child's earnings in the case of a Tana, actually, Tosfos points out, it is Minat Torah, because Midorea Besavia, Kol Shvach Meurim Lavia. But in the case of a cotton, it's a Din de Rabbanon. But anyway, fine, that you have the ability to. You don't have the ability, not Minat Torah and not Midorea Rabbanon, to cause them pain. Like this, when they're going to be working and not being able to eat, and they're little kids, they want to be able to eat from what they're working with. It bothers them. It's hard for them. You don't have the ability to do that. So fine, with an eved or a shivcha, you're able to cause them tzar. It's not the best thing. It's not a nice thing to do, maybe. But you are allowed la locha. You are allowed to cause an eved tzar.
Not with a child.
The Torah is not mezakeh. No, we're not talking about when you're doing it in order to for chinuch purposes. That's different. We're learning makas that are even more than that. But we're talking about here where it's not for chinuch. Here where it's not for chinuch purposes. Just so you can earn an extra buck. No, you don't have the ability to do that. Okay.
Now with the animal, you can't.
The animal you can't because of chasima.
But you could put horse beans. What was that?
We had kashinim.
Very cheap beans.
Well, kashrutim aren't necessarily cheap. We did say that you can put straw. You can give the animal straw ahead of time. Yeah.
Straw.
Yeah.
And so if you give them straw,
then fine, it'll be full and it won't eat. Yeah.
Then, but you can do that, and then you could actually make a deal. You could be kiting.
Well, but then the animal's not going to be eating anyway. Then
I'm
going to
give my animal straw in front of them.
Yeah, but still, that
he's not going
to
eat your.
He may not. But he still has the ability to eat, though. You're not able to muzzle him.
Okay.
So, so it's not necessarily an enforceable deal, though. Okay. Fine, but my yokim to lamasnis, b'shein ma'alahen mezonis. Fine. So what are you telling me then? You're trying to tell me that the next mishnah, again on Sadeh Gimel Amud Aleph, where it distinguishes between gdolim and ketanim, that you're talking about b'shein ma'alahen mezonis. Let's say then you're talking about the case that you're not supporting this gnoyu b'ta ketanim. You're not supporting this evidership of ketanim. Therefore, they don't have the ability to be moichel. Therefore, you can't make such a deal. Based on what they would have eaten, the problem with that is fine. That works out very well according to the opinion that machlokas that we just mentioned in Gittin, that a master does not have the ability to say to the eved, you're obligated to work for me. I'm entitled to my tzedakah, but I'm not obligated to support you. You go and ask for tzedakah. If we say that doesn't work, shaper, fine, then it works out well. Since he's not supporting the Eved is entitled to his own Maisi Yadav, therefore, fine.
The one
who holds
it, he doesn't have to do it.
That's right.
The
one who holds that you don't have the ability to say that. If you say to an Eved, Asayimi Ve'in Ezonach, it's the equivalent of saying that your Maisi Yadav are going to belong to you. Yeah. Fine. But if you say, according to the opinion, which is in fact the halacha, that you are able to tell an eved that, because yes, the eved can go around and beg for tzedakah, just like you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to Jews, you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to avodim ketanim, since they're chayiv in some mitzvahs. Ma'ik lemeima. Then what are you going to say? Even if you're not supporting this eved, his ma'ik yadav still belong to you. Fine, if they belong to you. Again, if we say mishal shemayim hu oichol, okay, well then it only belongs to him, it's non-transferable, so that's that. But if mishaloi hu oichol, which is what we're trying to argue over here, then why shouldn't it work just as well with a katan as with a gadol, regardless whether you're supporting him or not? Ella, no. So then we have to say, aidi v'aidi v'shein ma'alahen mezonis. No. So then we would have to understand the Mishnah and the Braisa that they're both talking about where you're not supporting the Eved, or v'hal pligi. In that case, the machloikas between the Braisa and the Mishnah might be just that. The mar sava yachol,
mar sava. Considering
that you're not supporting them, they would both hold mishaloi hu oichol, that's a bonus which is transferable. Mm-hmm. However, mar sava yachol or mar sava any yachol. Fine. The braisa holds that yachol harav loy mal avdoi, that a master is able to say this to his eved. Therefore, even if the eved is a katan, he is entitled to the eved's salary and bonuses, and therefore he's able to make deals on that basis. Yachol. Whereas the Mishnah would be holding any yachol, and therefore he has no right to make again. Mele, if the eved is a gadol, he can always be moichel it. If his mom and he can be moichel it, but not a katan. Yeah. The problem with that is, Rabbi Yochanan, the Amar Yachol HaRav, fine, but that machloikas about Yachol HaRav Loim El Eved, you have Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says that the master has the ability to say that. So what are you telling me? Shavak Masnis involved in Braisa? Are you telling me that Rabbi Yochanan would be going against the Mishnah in favor of a Braisa? If we're arguing that the machloikas between the Mishnah and the Braisa is on that point, how is Rabbi Yochanan ignoring a Mishnah, the implication of our Mishnah, in favor of Rabbi Hoshea's Braisa?
He would support the Braisa.
Usually, we assume the halacha is always like a mishnah against
right.
the braisa.
Right.
Ella, no. The kula alma misham shemayim hu'echol. No. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you necessarily have to say that everybody would agree, both the braisa and the mishnah, both hold misham shemayim hu'echol, that what the worker is eating is misham shemayim. Therefore, really, you don't have the ability to make deals about it at all. Because it's not something that's transferable. It's not something that you can say, I'm not taking this bonus, therefore instead give me X amount of money. In that case, my koitzit, the Omer of Hoshea, when uses the expression koitzit, when he's talking about the what you're able to do for Abdev Shvachasaknat, what he talks about, what you're doing, for Abdev Shvachasaknanim, doesn't mean koitzit like what we assumed all this time, that it means we make an agreement that instead of them eating X amount, you will pay me X amount. Rather, we mean a different thing. Koitzit means you're arranging with him that mizonis. that you're arranging, then he will give them, that the worker is saying, similar to what you were just saying about the straw, I will make sure, the koitzet is, I will make sure to feed this eved or shivka, who are ktanim, a lot of food ahead of time, so that by the time they come to do the job, they'll be too full to eat anything. And that's the koitzet that he says, because, look, I'm going to be giving them X amount of extra food to make sure that they're full and they don't eat from your grapes. Therefore, you're going to compensate me for that by giving me X amount of extra dollars.
Because you say kurtzis means you.
Because if you say that kurtzis means that you're saying they're not allowed to eat and instead you're going to pay me, then you have a problem. Michelle Shemaim Horecho, you don't have the ability to do that. Okay, the problem with that is to fine, in that case, then why is Rav Hoshea saying you can't do that with an animal? Do the same thing, prearrange. I'll be feeding the animal $3 worth of straw, so it doesn't need $10 worth of your produce to pay me the $3. Yeah. And saying that, why not? Yeah. Gabi Behemte Tevin Nokutla. Why can't he make the same deal as far as straw? No. Ella, so we finally have to come out, but how come Mifugi? In that case, given that we rejected all the other possible assumptions, then we have no choice. Evidently, we're left with that the machlokes between the mission and the braisa must be, after all, the marsav mishalad oichel or marsav mishal shemayim oichel. So never mind. Koitzis in the braisa means koitzis like what we usually assume.
Agreement.
Instead of that agreement that instead of them eating X amount, you'll pay me that amount instead. They won't be allowed to eat. Rav Hoshea would be saying that you're able to do that with Tanim because Mishaloi Hoichel, their salary belongs to you, and their bonus belongs to you, and therefore you can trade that in for money. The Tana of our Mishnah, of the next Mishnah, would be saying Mishal Shemayim Hoichel, therefore you don't have the ability to do that. And since the Halacha is going to be like a Mishnah versus the Braisa, that means the Maskanes were saying that in fact, Mishal Shemayim Hoichel, that the poel is eating Mishal Shemayim, not Mishaloi, and therefore it's not transferable to anybody else.
And then you don't have the contradiction.
So then you don't have the contradiction. However, the halacha is not like the braisa. You can't, for example, to go back to what we said yesterday, we started the sugya by asking, if you say Mishaloi Hoichel, you have the ability to say to the balabas, for example, instead of giving me this food, let me give it to my son. No, you don't have the ability to do that.
Because
Mishamayim, it's only reserved for you, Minashamayim, not for me.
So
now comes the next Mishnah, and most of this Mishnah we've already dealt with in the previous Sugya, so it's really only the last line of this Mishnah that's going to be the subject of the Gemara. The Mishnah says, Kotzitz Adamaydeh. A person can make a deal with the Balabas for himself, that instead of eating X amount, you'll pay me that amount. He can do it for his older son or daughter. For his older Eved or Shivcha. Or for his wife. If Neshi Yesh Ben Das, because they all have Das. Obviously, by the way, Kotzitz Adamaydeh makes a deal.
An agreement.
But he can't do it for his small son or daughter, or for his small Eved or Shivcha, or for his animal, because they don't have Das to be mochel. Based on the Maskana that we said over here, then in the previous piece of Gemara, what it comes out is, since our Mishnah is saying Mishal Shemayim mochel, then the point is, they don't have the ability to be mochel on that thing, Mishal Shemayim. So Dolim have the ability to do that. Even if it's Mishal Shemayim, they're entitled to take it and eat it, but they're also entitled, they also have the ability to hold themselves back. But Kanim, you can't expect them to have the das to understand, I'm not going to eat because my father or my master or whatever made a side deal with the owner, and therefore you have to allow them to eat. This also we dealt with before. You hire workers to work with your netzer d'avai, then they're not allowed to eat from it. Because we said, so again, if we say Mishal Shemayim, who the reason is because it's something osur, and the Torah has never mezakeh them to eat something that's osur.
Netzer d'avai is,
again, the fourth year produce would have to be eaten in your shalayim. Im loy hadian, but if he didn't inform them, then they're going to be working with netzer d'avai, poydor machil, and then he has to redeem some first and then give them to eat, because otherwise, like we said before, mechik and mechach toros. It's not a true mechach toros because it's Mishal Shemayim, but it still looks like a mechach toros. So you have to redeem some of that fruit. Now it becomes cholin, and now they can eat
with money.
Yeah, with money. And then he has to take that money to Yerushalayim. Yeah.
Give it to the Gabayim.
Yeah, no, he takes it and spends it on food in Yerushalayim. and any sort of
any food.
We learned previously what kinds of food. Basically, it's any. Basically, it has to be pre-mitzvah character. It has to be something. It has to be either produce or animals. Basically, something that either directly or indirectly grows from the ground. Not water, not salt, not mushrooms. Yeah. Okay. Another case, Nisparis the Gula of Nispachal Chav Yosef. If he had these Gula Dvela that got broken apart and he's hiring workers to put them back together, or he has barrels that were opened up, and we discussed before what happened exactly with the barrels over there, Harei Lolo Yofu, then again, they're not allowed to eat from it because it's already after Gemar Malacha, Im Lo Hedion. But if he didn't inform them, Ma'aster Ma'achilon, then still because it's Mechti Kemechatos, he has to take off Ma'aster from it and allow them to eat or drink some of it. Now comes the last line of the Mishnah, which we haven't dealt with yet, and which the Gemara is going to deal with. Shomrei Peiros, people who are hired to guard fruit, Oichlan Mehilchus Medina, they are allowed to eat from it because of Hilchus Medina, Avaloi Minatora, but not Minatora. What does Hilchus Medina mean? Rashi says it's just a Minagamachim. It's a universal Minagamachim that they allow such workers to eat. So Minatora they wouldn't have been able to, but based on the Minagamachim, some of the other Mephoshim say that actually, that I think the Meiri says that Hilchus Medina actually means Takana of the Chacham. So when we say Shomer Peiros, the Gemara says, now, there's different kinds of shomrei peiros. They can be guarding it while it's still growing. They can be guarding it after it was harvested and out in the field, drying. Which one are we talking about? What we talk about in the Mishnah that they are allowed to eat from Hilchus Medina is only talking about where they're guarding the fruit in the garden or in the orchard, meaning while it's still attached to the ground. So therefore, because it's still attached to the ground, it's not Shas Gemar Malacha, which we learned before is when the Torah is Mezaka, worker to each of it. Therefore, when a Torah, they're not able to. But Midrabanan, or Hilchus Medin, or whatever, they're able to. Aval Shomer Gittis Varemus, but if they are guarding the wine press or the pile of grain, where it's already been harvested from the ground, it's not Mechobel HaKarka anymore, and it's before Nigma Malacha Lemaisa, then they're able to eat on a Minatora level.
Because
it's already detached from the ground. And it's not yet Gemar Malacha. Which means that Rav holds Meshamer Ka'osa Maisa Dami. Evidently, then, what it means is Rav holds when you're guarding, even though you're just Lahora standing there passively, nevertheless, you consider like actually doing Malacha. And therefore, if you're guarding something which is detached from the ground and not yet at the point of Gemar Malacha Lemaisa, then you're guarding it. It's considered. You're working with it. You're working with it according to that, just as much as, for example, if you were threshing it or pressing it or what have you. Shmuel says, when the Mishnah says that the guards are only allowed to eat Hilchus Medina, after Gemar Malacha they'd be also to. That is after it's detached from the ground, but before Gemar Malacha. When they're guarding it, when it's in the wine press, or when the grain has already been stacked up. But Faket, Shmuel would say, if you're guarding a garden or an orchard where the ground where the fruit is still attached to the ground, and an Oichlum Loiminatoda of Loiminhilchus Medina, then those people are not allowed to eat at all. Not Minatoda, not from Hilchus Medina. Which means, in other words, that Shmuel holds guarding something is not considered doing a maisa. It's not considered, obviously you were hired to do the job, but it can't be considered, it's not the kind of job that the Torah is mezaki. The Torah says, Kisava b'kerem reya. It means, Rav says it is, and Shmuel says it's not. And Shmuel says it's not, because you're not actually doing anything, you're just standing.
And Shmuel says
it's not. Right. Moser Acha Bar Avona. So Rav Acha Bar Avona asks on Shmuel, we learn in a bright that now we know that everybody who's involved in preparing the parah aduma becomes tamei. By the way, you know there is a common misconception that also the kohen who sprinkles the parah aduma water becomes tamei. That's not correct. But everybody who's involved in preparing it in the first place, shechting it and burning it and collecting the ashes and so on and so forth, and also if you handle parah aduma water without sprinkling it, all those people become tamei. They all are metame begodim. All of them, they themselves are tamei, and their clothes are also tamei. They're an avat tamei. Their clothes are rishon tamei.
So the kohen that sprinkles it and makes someone else pure does not
become tamei. It's a very common misconception. But no, if you look on Rashi in the Pesukim over there in Parshas Kukas, then no.
You mentioned it.
Yeah, we've talked about it before.
But what becomes tamei is pure.
And then anybody who becomes tummy because of the part adruma, their clothes become tummy also. It's called tumma b'chiburin. It's called that you're attached to the clothes because you're inside them. Therefore, they become tummy at the same time. Actually, tumma b'chiburin is something else. That's talking about when you touch it. Whatever. The point is, the kohen, in the case of gathering the ashes, it's not to be a kohen specifically. It can be a Yisrael. Whatever. Anybody who's involved in those things becomes tummy, and their clothes become tummy. They themselves become an avatuma, and their clothes become a rishon tumma.
What's the misconception?
The misconception is that if a kohen is sprinkling the part of adruma water, he becomes tummy. That's not correct. But for example, the one who shechted it, the one who gathers the ashes, anything
else.
Right. So hamashamer is a parah. If somebody is guarding the parah, so the parah has been shechted. I'm harazesim over there. Meanwhile, then they after it's shechted, they light it on fire and they throw in the eitz erez and ezem and so forth. You have somebody over there standing guard to make sure that it gets properly burnt. That person, mitame begotim, he becomes tameh and his clothes become tameh. Now, we amit mashamah lakos and maisa dummy. You Shmuel are telling us that if you're guarding fruit, it's not considered like you're doing a maisa. Am I mitame begotim? This person is not involved with the parah adruma. Why is he mitame begotim?
Could still not be melacha. No,
but they because the pasuk only says anybody who's involved with parah adruma,
and
that implies that they're actually doing melacha. Yeah. The answer is Omer Rav Bar Ula. You're right. He's not tamei min atzora. He's only tamei min drabbanon. Gzeira shemi yozes ba'ever. We make a gzeira because while he's watching it, he may move a limb of it. He may touch it to piece of it to get it better into the fire or whatever. And then he's actually involved with the burning. So because of that, the Chachamim made a gzeira that even if he doesn't actually touch anything, he's still tamei just to be on the safe side.
But he shouldn't.
In case he moves it, which then he's actually oisik in it, and then he's tamei min atzora. Yeah. Masiv Rav Kahana, Hamashamer Abba v'Chomesh Mikshoyes. If somebody is guarding four or five patches of cucumbers, Harei Zalo Yamalik, and he's allowed to eat them from them. Harei Zalo Yamalik Kreitim Echad Mehen. He shouldn't fill up his stomach just from one patch because that's not fair to the owner of that one. Elam Mikol Echad V'Echad Ochel Lefi Cheshbin. He has to eat proportionately from each one. The Yamet Mashamer Lav Kreitim Echad Meisa Domi. If you say that when he's guarding, he's not doing a Meisa like Shmuel says, then he's not allowed to eat anyway. Am I Ochel? Why is he eating B'chal? Amar Rav Shimi Ba'ashi.
Second example.
Yes. Amar Rav Shimi Ba'ashi Ba'akurin Shanu. So Rav Shimi Ba'ashi says, you're understanding that he's guarding these patches while the fruits are still growing in them. No, Mikshoyes can mean over there that the pumpkins or whatever it is were pulled out from the ground with their roots. So that's Mikshoyes implies a place where a patch where you plant them. But they were pulled out from the ground with their roots. It can still be called Mikshoyes rather than Kishoyim. Well, they've pulled out of the ground already. Of course, Shmuel would agree you're allowed to eat then. Okay, and the question is, fine, but once they're detached from the ground, what else is there to do? They're already chayiv and meiser at that point, nigmur malachon. The answer is, shalanitul pikas shalahem. We're talking about if the flower wasn't removed from the top of them. We learned a few days ago that these things, kind of these cucumbers and things, if the flower is still on it, then if the flower is still on it, then it's not yet nigmur malachon. The flower has to be removed, and then it becomes chayiv and meiser. Amar Ravashi, kavasei de Shmuel mistabra. So Ravashi says, yes, you know what? It seems logical to say in this machloikas that the halacha is like Shmuel. It's not, because we learned in the first Mishnah when we started the
poll. Can you close the door, please?
He didn't.
Can you close the door?
We learned in the first Mishnah that we started last week when we started talking about the whole concept of koyel oichel. The Mishnah started over there saying ve'elu oichel minat Torah. The following people are allowed to eat on a minat Torah level. Ha'osim v'mechubal akarka b'shas gmar malacha. If you're working on something that's attached to the ground and at the time of gmar malacha, or if you're working on something detached from the ground before tzayiv and ma'aseh. Now it said oichel minat Torah. The implication is, evidently, there must be some other people who cannot eat it on a Midaraisa level, only from Hilchos Medina. Amos Sefer, but then you have the next Mishnah that said, then you have, not this next Mishnah, it was a continuation of the same Mishnah, that said the following people are not allowed to eat. And we have to ask, what do you mean they're not allowed to eat? Do you mean there are people who are not allowed to eat minat Torah, but they're allowed to eat Mehilchus Medina? And one of them was if he's working on something mechubal karka before it's being detached from the ground, while it's still attached to the ground.
That would be
if we're saying that he can only eat Mehilchus Medina, Hainu Reisha, then it's saying exactly the same thing as the Reisha. Elalav, so it must be, the implication must be, She'enenoson, Loiminatur, Loiminoson Medina. There must be that the second part of that Mishnah is talking about people who cannot eat at all, not Minatur and not Minoson Medina, or my new, Oisubimachobulakaka, Bashashashen, Gmamalacha. Namely, when they're working with something, Machobulakaka, when it's not being finished, Vachoshkin, Shemudinus, Pardesis. How much more so than guardians of orchards and gardens. So in other words, it comes out, according to Shmuel, yes, you have three different parts that talk about three different things. The first part of the Mishnah on Pezayin talked about people who can eat Minat Torah. The second part of it talked about people who can't eat at all. And our Mishnah is mentioning the ones who are in between who can eat Mehoch and Medina. So therefore, it's logical to say that Shmuel's position is correct, and in fact, that is in fact the halacha, like Shmuel. So if you're guarding something from Mechob al-Karka, you're taka not allowed to eat from it at all, not even Mehoch and Medina.
Yeah.